Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Perfect Timing Podcast. I am your host, Sydney Chandler-Renee, and today I'm bringing back Ian Brock for part two of my episode with him. Last week, we talked about his dream hustle code. This week, we're going to talk about Silicon Valley and how that has impacted his life. You're making such a huge contribution in the world, and I'm so happy to see how you are influencing young boys, especially to use like computers and controllers in a way that will change the world. If you can pick one or two words to sum this up and change another boy's intentions of what's be going on in the technology universe, what would that be?
I have two different sets of words. The first one would be, you said two words, so I had to shorten it, but the first one would be no excuses. Mm-hmm. And the second part of the word would be don't stop. Now, I would say no excuses because the excuses, I would say, are kind of like a crutch that people use to kind of cover up the real reason as to why they can't do something And so you can't make this excuses, especially in the technology space, because there's literally, when you're going into computer science and coding, the barrier to entry is so low. I mean, you can literally pick up, if you have a phone, a tablet, a laptop, you can come into this space and learn how to code for free. And so making excuses is not an option because, I mean, there is no reason why you cannot not only learn about the computer science space and learn how to code, but why you can't also thrive in it. And also, don't make any excuses in any field, because again, excuses are a crutch that cover up the reason why you can't do something. And so don't let excuses hold you back, or else you'll regret it and you won't know what you could have been and what your full potential could have been like. Reason I say don't stop is because there's so many different things that you're going to go through as a human being, right? There's a bunch of ups and there's a bunch of downs. The downs may make you want to give up in certain situations, but you can't quit, because there's a saying that Eric Thomas says. He says, pain is temporary. It may last for a minute, an hour, or a day, or even a year, but eventually it will subside and something else will take its place. If you quit, however, it will last forever. Now, what he's basically saying in that statement is, in life, there's going to be a bunch of pain. Let's just take sports, for example, right? When you're learning to, or you're trying to get better as a player, there's going to be a lot of pain, right? A lot of working out, a lot of trial and error, a lot of times when you'll probably want to give up, right? But it's only going to be there for a certain amount of time, because if you keep going, eventually that pain will go away and you'll find yourself being a stronger and better person. But if you quit in any instance, in any area of your life, the pain will last forever. Now, he wasn't talking about a physical pain that'll last forever. He was talking about that mental pain. That pain of regret, thinking, what if I didn't give up? What if you would have stuck with it? What could have happened? What opportunities would it have led to? What doors would it have opened if you would have just stuck with it and not given up? And so I say don't stop, because I don't like the idea of looking back on my life when I'm older and thinking, man, what if I would have just stuck to the work I was doing? What if I didn't quit? Who knows what could have happened? I just don't like that idea of living life of regret. So, I mean, those two sets of words, I think, are extremely important. If you can just apply those two, you'll be fine. And not only just in computer science, but just everyday life in general.
I agree. And I have like this quote right here next to me. It says, don't fear failure, but be terrified of regret. And I always look at that, because it's like, if you're going to go through failure, it's not the end of the world. And like you said, I'd rather live a life that's fulfilled with everything that I've done, knowing that I didn't stop. And like you said earlier, realizing our full potential, I would have been so much happier that way than like 20 years from now. Like, I remember when I was like 16 and I had a podcast, but then I got sick of it, so I stopped. But I wonder what would have happened if I kept going. So I agree. Like, I think that we can just be like, we have to go through this step by step, and we're human, and like, things are going to happen, but that's okay, because it's only going to make us stronger.
Exactly. I'm paraphrasing what they're saying, but it's like, I'd rather put my all into something and not succeed than not put anything into it and fail. Right. So it's like, I'd rather go all in on something and find out, it doesn't work out, than not put anything into it and think about what would have happened if I would have stuck with it. So, I mean, that's important.
Right. like you said earlier, we were talking about Silicon Valley, and I was wondering, like, how did that visit go, and like, how did it impact your life? And can you tell our listeners who may not be familiar with Silicon Valley, like, what's it all about?
Right. So it kind of ties into, or it definitely ties into the story I told earlier about the trip. But the first time I went into Silicon Valley, or I went to Silicon Valley, I was speaking at Google's headquarters in Los Angeles. Right. So after I was sitting on a panel, and so after I was on the panel, I got a chance to get a tour. And so I was experiencing so many different things. Like, when you think of a tech company, you usually think it's like an office space with a bunch of cubicles, like just kind of, I don't want to say lame, but it doesn't look exciting, right? But when I went inside of a tech space, I was like, man, this is like a theme park here. It has everything. I mean, there is food, they had basketball courts, workout centers, people were working on bean bags and couches. I mean, it looked like your home away from home, right? Everything you wanted was there. And so fast forward, I had a chance to visit other tech companies as well, down in Silicon Valley. And so after having that experience, it really opened my mind and allowed me to see what was possible for myself in tech. And I was like, man, I can't be the only person that gets to experience this, because that wouldn't be fair. So I was like, I have to be able to share this experience with my friends so that they can also get this opportunity to see what's possible for them in tech, or even it might just spark a fire inside of them to want to get into the computer science space. And so that's when we decided to raise money to take kids from Chicago to Silicon Valley so that they could get that bigger vision for themselves. So again, we went through that whole year of trying to fundraise, funders backing out the last second, saying no to the trip, and or saying they wouldn't fund the trip. And so we were at that crossroads where it was either A, we give up on the trip, or B, we keep going and just extend the trip a whole nother year and find different ways of fundraising the money. And so we were close to giving up. We were like a day, we were staying up all night, and we were just like, man, I think we should give up. But then I was like, no, we have to keep going, because I gave my word to my friends, my best friend. I said, we're going to take this trip. And when I give my word to something, I have to see it through. I have to make sure that it happens. So we ended up extending the trip a whole nother year. And so because of that, it led to an amazing opportunity where the head of media sales at BET, he actually caught wind of our mission. And so he told me on Instagram, he was like, Ian, let's hop on a call. And so he said, Ian, I'm going to do something for you. Not only am I going to donate to the trip, but I'm also going to get BET to donate to the trip. And I'm going to do one last thing for you. I'm going to fly you and your team out to the BET Awards and have you speak on the main stage. And so I was like, yo, I was a freshman. I was like, oh my goodness. Thank you so much, Ms. Carr. This is so exciting. Thank you. You don't know how appreciative I am for you. And so because of us not giving up on that trip, it led to me getting a new mentor, us getting the trip, me speaking at the BET Awards, and also us meeting a presidential candidate, Mayor Pete Buttigieg, while we were on the trip. And so in 2019, we finally took a group of kids from Chicago, Wisconsin. I think it was around 25. And so we flew from Chicago to Wisconsin, or to Silicon Valley, went to Twitter, we went to Netflix, went to Google. Then we flew down to Los Angeles, and then we visited Warner Brothers as well as Vector 90, so that they could, you know, visit Nipsey Hussle's tech incubator. But man, you know, visiting Silicon Valley, I mean, it really is a blessing to be able to experience firsthand what it's like to be in the computer science space and being in the tech economy and seeing what that world is like, because it's totally different from what it's like in Chicago. And so just getting that firsthand experience, it really allows you to see what's possible, but also it kind of sparks a fire inside of you to want to be a part of that environment. So, I mean, that was a story of how it changed. The Silicon Valley changed my life as well as changing other kids' lives too.
Wow. I wasn't expecting like such like a fulfilled and detailed experience. Like, I really feel like I was in your shoes experiencing all of that based on like the way you told the story. And I think it just goes to show that you can't stop and there are no excuses. And right. I'm so impressed about everything that you've done, and you were able to take these kids on like a journey through like what the tech world is like, and you were able to inspire so many people. And I think that is just so inspiring and cool, and like for you to do that. And I'm just like, baffled right now. That is so cool.
Thank you. Thank you.
And you mentioned mentorship and how you were able to get a new mentor and like go through that process. Can you talk about that real quick?
Yeah. I mean, mentorship is, it's really, I mean, it's extremely important because all the mentors in my life have, again, opened so many doors and opportunities. I mean, mentors like Mr. Lewis Carr, who opened the door for us to take the trip. Mentors like Mr. Shaka Sengor, who opened the door for me to interview Oprah Winfrey. You know, I've had so many mentors in my life. It's I can't even list them all or we'd be here all day. But I mean, mentorship is extremely important because it allows you to, I mean, it allows you to get a different experience from somebody who has more experience in the field that you want to be in. And so, I mean, I was able to start to be a mentor or start becoming a mentor last year, actually prior to COVID. Before I started my classes, I actually started mentoring a couple students that were in Atlanta. And so, you know, from that experience, we were just touching on computer science. And so from that experience, it really made it easier to teach my classes during the pandemic, Monday through Friday, because all I was doing was taking what I had learned from my previous mentorship sessions and onboarding it into my camp. And so, you know, that's what made it easier throughout the year doing the classes. But then at the end of 2020, I was able to be a part of a mentorship series with Twitter, where they were actually mentoring me and a couple interns that were working with us at Dream Hustle Code and building projects and learning how to code and getting the insights of what it's like working at Twitter. And so that was it was extremely important for me because not only did I learn certain concepts in coding, but it also helped me get the business side of things and what it's actually like in building a company or being a part of a company. And honestly gave me more confidence because I'm learning from a professional. And so if I'm getting firsthand experience from a professional, it's adding on to what I already knew. And ultimately, I'm becoming more confident in myself at being able to create more projects and be able to attack different challenges and problems. But mentors, I mean, having a mentor and being a mentor are two critical factors in everyone's life, because without mentors in my life, I wouldn't be able to do the things that I'm doing now, and I wouldn't be able to touch as many kids' lives without them.
I agree, and I want to get myself into mentorship as well, and like finding the right mentor and be able to have that relationship and support, like you said, I think is really essential into doing with what you want to do, being an entrepreneur, helping inspire kids to do code and things like that. I really think that is really essential in our lives. And during this pandemic, you started an online coaching and personal development training. How were you able to pull this off? And like, I know it must have been like a lot of work for you and selecting the students. And like, who was like the youngest student that you think you've mentored?
That's a funny story. So I'll try and answer all three of them at once. So
okay, I mean, I threw them all at you.
Nah, it's okay. So the mentorship side of things, I mean, it was a quick adjustment, but it was necessary. I mean, I started off doing classes Monday through Friday for 2 hours a day. 2 hours went to 3 hours. 3 hours went to 4 hours. 4 hours went to 5.5 hours. So, I mean, I was doing this Monday through Friday, and it was totally different because I'm used to having school every day and doing business, but now all I'm doing is classes and business. So it was an adjustment that I had to make, but it was necessary. And it's funny you asked what was my youngest student. So in our classes, we typically the range of students that we have or age ranges from fifth through ninth grade, right? And then eventually we went through fifth to high or to 12th grade at the end of it. But in the beginning, it was fifth through ninth. And so, you know, we had a funny story about how a second grader snuck in. So typically when a parent signs up their kid to get in the class, they have to fill out this survey. And one of the questions is, what grade is your child in? And so it's like a multiple choice where you have to select one. It was fifth to ninth grade. And so the parent picked fifth, right? And so the first day of class, I'm like, yo, what's going on, everybody? Making introductions, you know, getting everybody excited, asking questions. And so I'm asking, what state are you from? What city are you from? What's your favorite sport? Just basic questions. And so I started asking, everyone let me know in chat, what grade are you in? And so people started saying fifth, sixth, ninth, eighth, seventh. And then all of a sudden I see this little girl, she said second grade. I'm like, second grade? Hold up. And I asked her, I said, did you mistype that? Or are you actually in second grade? She was like, oh yeah, I'm in second grade. You know, I just got out of school. I'm excited to be here. And so I was like, wait a minute. This, first of all, she can't even be in this program because number one, she doesn't even know basic math. She probably doesn't even know how to multiply yet. So she definitely can't be in this program. And number two, she doesn't even have an email, or she shouldn't. But I mean, it was just so many different things that just didn't make sense, because the parent, I don't want to say she lied, but she finessed us. She said that her kid was in fifth grade when she was 7 years old. I mean, that was just so funny. And it was crazy how somebody had to sneak in to get into the class. And that was in second grade when she shouldn't have been there, because she would have been very confused. But I mean, yeah, that was a very funny experience. The oldest kid we had was actually a senior in high school, Orpheus. Dang, he's graduating high school this year. That's crazy. But yeah, we had our range was supposed to be 5th through 9th, and it ended up being 2nd to 12th. So, I mean, that's a huge age range, but I mean, it is what it is.
I'm dying over here. That was so funny.
It didn't make sense to me, but it happened. So.
I mean, hey, hopefully they took something out of it, even though they may not know how to subtract 3-digit numbers yet. But that's okay. Hopefully they got something out of it. But that's really great that you were able to touch so many people and that you were able to get that range from 2nd to 12th grade.
Yeah, I still can't get over that. That makes me laugh every time I think about it.
So what would you say to another young boy who is afraid to consider computer science when he wants to just fit in with his friends? Because I know computer science may be out of the norm or something that a nerd would do, but it's also something that can be really beneficial. So what can you say to him that he doesn't dummy down his talents?
Well, first off, I would say if your friends are going to make fun of you and kind of bully you because of you wanting to be in computer science, you need to go find you some new friends because those aren't good people in your life. So that's the first step. But secondly, I don't think you should necessarily care about other people's opinions of you, especially when it comes to you trying to better yourself, right? You're not learning computer science just because, I mean, you're trying to, you know, jag off time and just do something. No, you're actually trying to better your life and learn a new skill that could potentially change your life for the better. I mean, computer science and learning how to code is essential, especially in today's world. I mean, we live in a new tech era where technology is touching every aspect of our lives. And so if you don't learn about technology, you don't learn how to code, you're honestly behind the curve. You're behind everyone else. And so, you know, when I was first learning how to code, I mean, my friends, obviously, they didn't know what it was. They didn't really have a clue about it, but it doesn't mean that they weren't still supportive. I mean, they supported me along the journey, even though they didn't know what I was doing, they still supported me. And now they're all trying to, you know, be a part of the mission. So I say, once you're getting into computer science, forget what everyone else is talking about. Again, if your friends are bullying you about that, go find some new ones, but maybe not talk about it in public if it's really a big issue from you. Try learning about it behind the scenes. Like when you have time by yourself at home, go to different websites to learn about computer science and coding. Look up YouTube videos on your own. Do your own research just so that you don't have to, I guess, face it in public. But don't worry about it, because at the end of the day, you're just trying to develop a new skill that's going to better yourself and possibly better your whole entire family. So just keep going at it. Again, don't give up no matter how difficult it gets. Don't listen to the naysayers or the haters, and just keep going, because it's going to be worth it. Trust me. You might mess around and create the next Apple and become a billionaire if you keep going on that journey. So who knows what it could lead to.
I agree. And I think that can be shown for anything, like people who want to be like actors and like they want to be on Broadway. Some people, like, especially now, they're like, oh, you're a theater kid. Like what's that? And like, it's kind of like people who are like that, they don't really see their full potential, and then they take that and they're just like, well, if they think it's a joke, I don't want to be laughed at. So then they're cutting out something out of their life that could be really beneficial to them. And it's like, why do that? Why sacrifice your own life and your own being and what makes you happy for the recognition and the likeness of other people?
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because I remember when I was little, I would look at certain kids that were doing different things, and I would think, man, that's weird. right? Because you're a kid. I mean, you're around other kids who just, you're just talking. And so looking back at that, it's like, man, it's weird looking back because there's so many different people that changed who they were based on what their friends at school said. And especially in today's world, it's so difficult because of social media. But it's like you have to kind of have a strong mindset and not worry about what other people think. Because at the end of the day, what other people's opinions of you or how they think about you, it really doesn't matter. It shouldn't matter to you because they really don't know the real you. They don't know what you actually do on a day-to-day basis. And they can't make the decisions for you for your own life. You're the decision maker in your life, not anyone else. So other people's opinions of you, I mean, yeah, it's cool. I mean, yeah, it's something that you should be thinking about. But if it's an opinion that is kind of holding you back, then you shouldn't really pay attention to it. And I know it's easier said than done, but at the end of the day, you just have to try and develop that strong mindset of looking past that and just kind of ignoring it.
Definitely. And it's kind of like, you're like the only person that has your back. If you don't believe in yourself, how do you expect other people to? So it's exactly. Just having that strong mindset, having your own back, being your own backbone, and like not always having to rely on other people. And it's just like, well, that's okay if they don't believe in me because I believe in myself and I know that I can do this.
Exactly. Couldn't have said it better.
I am so proud of you and I wish you all the success. And this interview is about to come to an end, but I will give you those questions in just a second. But how can my supporters go and support you?
All right. So on social media, you can follow us at Dream Hustle Code on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Also, if you want to get your kid involved 5th through 12th grade into our computer science and personal development camp, you can check us out at dreamhustlecode.com. You can find out more information about us. Also, look forward to signing up there for our camp. We're actually starting one next Monday. I think it's the 25th. But we will be having multiple sessions, 7-week classes throughout the entire year. So look forward to that. And yeah, I mean, if you want to, yeah, that's pretty much it. Our social medias, again, Dream Hustle Code on Instagram, Twitter, and that's pretty much it.
All right. You guys heard him. Go support my boy, Ian. Make sure you're liking him up, you're following him, you're sharing all these great things because he needs your support. And we're all here to do this together and here to support Ian. So
thank you.
Let's get into these questions.
All right, I'm ready. I'm excited. Let's get to it.
Okay. On a scale of 1 to 10, how cool would you say you are?
That's weird. I don't really think about myself like that. So I'll say a seven. I'll give myself a seven. A cool
okay.
seven.
Okay. What are one of the things that you would put on your bucket list?
Travel the world. I definitely want to go travel the world, see every part of it. You know, recently I've been thinking about traveling to, you know, all different parts of Asia as well as Africa, you know, learning more about my culture and my heritage. So that'd be important as well. And then, yeah, traveling. I want to travel the world. That's pretty much it.
Describe yourself in 3 words.
I say goofy is one. I'm a very goofy person. Hard working? Well, that's 2 words. Goofy and hard working. I guess that's pretty much it. Yeah, I'm a very, you know, goofy person. I love having fun. I love making, you know, light of every situation. But also when it comes down to it, I'm willing to work extremely hard to accomplish whatever it is I'm a part of and also work hard to see other people's dreams come true as well. So yeah, those are my 3 words.
If you could trade lives with anyone for a day, who would it be and why?
Trade lives. Okay. That's interesting. I mean, there's a lot of people because I have so many different interests, right? Like in tech, I got interest in tech, basketball, music, you know. So, that's tough.
Why don't you choose one from something that's involved with tech?
I'll say Elon Musk. He's an interesting character. I mean, the way he thinks, it's a little crazy at times. But I mean, he's yielded amazing results. So I just would wonder what goes on through his mind, what he does in his day to day, managing SpaceX, Tesla, and also other projects that he's working on in the future. But definitely somebody I would love to, you know, see what he does every day.
Good answer. What new technology do you think will transform the future?
Technology. I'd say AI and machine learning. I mean, those are already in works at changing the world, but it's definitely going to take over, I feel like, a large portion of the tech space, because everything's going to be automated soon. So that's something I would say, one. And then VR, AR and VR, yes, that's going to be a huge role, because I feel like there's a movie called, do you know that movie called Ready Player One?
I love that movie.
I feel like that video game might actually come to real life. And so that's going to play a huge role if they find a way to make video games on VR and make it like that. So I think that's going to be pretty cool.
What's the first thing you notice about someone when you first meet them?
That's funny. So I'm also a shoe head. So the first thing I'm looking at is somebody's shoes. Yeah, that's probably the first thing. And then you can't really see somebody's personality, so I'm going based off of looks. But like, if I'm seeing you from a distance, it's your shoes, and then I guess haircut. That's pretty much it. But like, when I'm in person with somebody and I'm getting to know them, definitely their personality, see what kind of character traits they have, see if they have a bubbly personality, if they're, you know, not so bubbly, you know, that's important as well as far as looks, but definitely shoes first.
What is your dream car?
Dream car. Okay. If you would have asked me this last year, I would have said a red Range Rover, but it's kind of changed a little bit. I don't even know. I guess you could say a Wraith? I don't know. Well, okay, so there's this new car company called Mims Motors, and it's actually, the founder is actually the first black car manufacturer in 100 years. And so he's got this car called the Euphoria. And so he's my uncle, right? Well, he's not my biological uncle, but he's my uncle. And so he said he was going to give me that car in a couple of years. Now, depending on when it comes out, that's my dream car, right? Euphoria. But it's not really well known. I don't have a picture. So like a car that, I guess it would be the Euphoria's number one, and number two, the Wraith, a Rolls Royce Wraith.
What is your favorite sport to watch?
Basketball. Yes, my favorite sport to watch, play, and play video games on.
Okay. Well, the Washington Wizards or the Chicago Bulls?
Bulls. Easy. I'm from Chicago, so, I mean, that's easy. I was never a Washington Wizards fan because I'm a Bull. I'm from Chicago, so.
Okay. My mom wanted me to ask that one. She was like, you got to ask him this. And I was like, Mom, the obvious answer is the Bulls. Like, why? But she's the one who asked it. But obviously, I'm for the Wizards because, you know, got her at DC. But this is so much fun. We've gone way over time, but it doesn't matter because I've just enjoyed this conversation so much. And I just hope that all the success to you is well-deserved and well-earned. And, like, you know, I'm really blessed that I was able to have you on today and, like, give it all up to God, because if it weren't for him, you wouldn't be standing here in this presence right now. So just thank you so much for joining me.
Absolutely. I appreciate you for the invite. I love the podcast. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, how many other people you might be able to get on the show. It might be a full production soon. Who knows? And then when you mentioned earlier about mentorship, I think it's something that you should look into, because, you know, there's a lot of young black girls who, if they knew about you, they probably would be looking up to you. And so that's something that I could see you doing. And yeah, I'm excited. You know, I can't wait to hear the, you know, final product of this podcast. Mm-hmm. But yeah, thank you for having me, and I appreciate the time.
Thank you. And make sure you guys go support my boy Ian on all of his socials at Dream Hustle Code. And yeah, I hope you all enjoyed this conversation as much as I have. And this is perfect timing.